The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Aaron Rodgers and the beautiful mystery that is his future taking a surprising turn. We'll tell you what it means. Plus, is the most overlooked quarterback in the draft the one who's been right in front of our eyes all along? What a day for Justin Fields. Should he be number two? And were the plans put in motion yesterday for this QB to go back to where it all began? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers as we get up with you, starting right now on a jam-packed Wednesday. In the middle of all these pro days and all this tournament, we are busy and we are delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We've got plenty of football coming, and we've got exactly the right people to talk about it with. Look who's here. Teddy Bruschi's gotten up early. Diana is ready to roll. And Desmond Howard spent last night on the edge of his seat watching his Michigan Wolverines taking on UCLA, and that's where it begins with the upset of the night in the Elite Eight. What a thriller. Just over a minute to go. UCLA leading Juwan Howard's team by one. Johnny Juzang. Oh, how good was this kid? 28 points for Juzang. UCLA a three-point lead. Now, 20 seconds to go. Michigan down by one. Where are you going to go for the bucket? Franz Wagner. Looking for three in the lead. It's no good. They've got an offensive rebound. That's no good either. Michigan has to foul. 6 seconds remaining. UCLA is up by two. Juzang at the line. He made the first. Here comes the second for the three-point lead. It's no good. Michigan calls the timeout. 6 seconds left. Juwan, what are we drawing up? Down by two. 6 seconds to play. Here comes Mike Smith. Four, three, two. For the win. It's no good. We fight for the board. Michigan's going to get one more shot at it. Jalen Rose was among those in attendance, watching, hoping, praying. One last shot. Wagner for the win, and it's no good. UCLA dances all the way from the first four to the final four. The Bruins with the upset of the night. It has been a magical ride for UCLA, one that started all the way in that first four. They now joined VCU in 2011 as the only teams to make the final four after starting in the round of the first four. And before we get to all of our football conversation, Dez, what can I say? My heart goes out to you. How are we feeling this morning after the heartbreaking defeat for your Wolverines?
I wanted to call in sick this morning, but my wife said that's not an option. So I tell you, it was gut-wrenching. Obviously, the last 2.5 minutes of that game, it was everything you can ask for in March Madness, but they just came up short. And, you know, hey, congratulations to the Bruins. I mean, they played a hell of a game. They've had a fantastic tournament. Now they're about to run into this buzzsaw named Gonzaga, so good luck with that. But Juwan Howard, his staff, they had all the answers. The guys, they just didn't go out there and execute, so we didn't get it done last night.
You're a classier man than I am. I would definitely have not made it into work today. We will talk to Seth Greenberg about all the tournament stuff a little bit later. But now to the NFL. The Green Bay Packers have restructured the contracts of six players this offseason to create much-needed cap space. But Aaron Rodgers is not one of them. Yesterday, our Rob Domofsky asked the Packers CEO Mark Murphy why they haven't done anything yet with Rodgers' contract.
No, I can't really get into specific players. Yeah, we've been able to create room with others.
Don't you guys want to ensure, though, that he's your quarterback beyond just this season?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the specifics again. Good try, though, Rob.
That's why we love Rob Domofsky. You got to try. Teddy is here, Diana's here, and Dez, of course, continues with us. Diana, how should we read that exchange, and I guess in particular, and in general, the fact that they redid all these deals and they didn't do Aaron's?
Yeah, six deals they redid to try to make more room, and you heard Mark Murphy just try to veer right around it. And from the outside, Mike, it may seem like the Green Bay Packers aren't redoing this deal. They're not extending their future Hall of Fame quarterback. But league circles have been pointing, or people in league circles have been pointing this out to me over the last week or so. that Aaron Rodgers would need to agree to restructure. So while Mark Murphy's not going out there giving specifics, this may be him protecting his quarterback. Because in theory, Aaron Rodgers could be the one and the reason why this isn't getting done, Mike.
And so let's be clear, Teddy, on what it is that we're talking about here. If Aaron Rodgers is at least participating in not extending his contract and setting himself up to be able to leave next year if he wants to, how do you see that situation right now for Rodgers?
Well, from a Green Bay Packers fan perspective, it's all bad because this should be solidified. You should have this quarterback. No doubts that he's going to be here this year, next year, years from now, because he's that good and he's that special of a player. Of course, we all know that, but quarterbacks have power. And if quarterbacks choose that they want a contract or they want out of town, or eventually I just want control after this year to control where I go, they can do that. And I think this does have something to do with Aaron Rodgers. And I think we all have to realize about how a lot of professional football players achieve success in their careers. It's they take things personal. And I believe that Aaron Rodgers is a person that takes things personal. I still think he feels wronged by that first round pick of Jordan Love. So it's like, listen, I remember who's got my back. And you guys take a quarterback in the first round. So I'm just going to play my options out a little bit and have a little bit of control. And I think Aaron Rodgers is making decisions behind the scenes because he does have that type of power.
Desmond, does that sound like Aaron Rodgers to you?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers, he felt the same way that most of us felt last season during the draft. We watched the Green Bay Packers trade up to draft his replacement, Jordan Love. He felt like he had gotten snaked. Like, hey, I thought you guys were going to give me another weapon, a wideout, a tight end, someone to help this offense, not a symbol that, hey, your future here is almost over, so this is the guy we're about to get who's going to step into your shoes sometime soon. So, I can't really blame Aaron Rodgers. If I'm put in this position right now, the organization, they've played their hand. They showed me how they look at my future. So now you have to protect yourself. You have to look at your future from the vantage point where it benefits you. You've given the Packers organization, you've given the cheeseheads everything they can ask for from you as a quarterback, and this is the way that they've chosen to repay you. So now you have to look out for yourself. So I do not blame Aaron Rodgers one bit.
Wrap it up, Diana. Give us a quick sense of how this thing plays out from here.
Yeah, Greeny, this is a message. This basically is Aaron Rodgers saying, I'm going to go year to year now. This is my days of playing in Green Bay. They're maybe numbered. I may not finish here. Because you made that decision, not me.
Yeah, this shall forever be known as pulling a Brady. It worked out awful well for Tom down in Tampa. We'll see if it works out for Aaron Rodgers himself. All right, next stop this morning is the Pro Day circuit. And oh, what a day it was for Justin Fields. His Pro Day yesterday in Columbus, and everyone was talking about this, his 40-yard dash. He's 6'3", he weighs 228 pounds, and he ran an unofficial 4.44. So just for comparison, you say to yourself, well, just how fast is that? He ran in the 4.4s. It's really fast. If you take a look at the official NFL Combine 40s by quarterbacks going back to 2006, the only one who ran faster was RG3 nearly 10 years ago. Now, just to be very clear, Lamar Jackson didn't run at the Combine. Kyler Murray didn't run at the Combine. It doesn't include them. But that's just to suffice it to say, he's unbelievably fast. And this is Matt Miller here, who was our draft analyst extraordinaire. Matt, what did we see? For those who didn't watch it and didn't follow the conversation yesterday, how did everything go for Justin Fields yesterday, and what did it mean?
Yeah, Greeny, it went exceptionally well. And it's unfortunate that it's not getting maybe as much hype as the Zach Wilson Pro Day did last Friday, but it, not just the 40 time. This is exceptional. To run a 4.44 at almost 230 pounds as a quarterback, you show the numbers. That is unprecedented. But let's go back to the throwing, because that is actually what Justin Fields does best and what he did best for tiers at Ohio State. We saw him throwing, yes, the short routes. We saw him stretch the field. This ability to go opposite, roll left, launch the ball down the field. There were throws where his guys were not waiting on the routes. He's throwing on time. He's throwing with velocity. And I've said it before. If you want me to bet on the quarterback in this class who's the biggest, strongest, and has the best speed, well, that's actually Justin Fields. It's not Trevor Lawrence. It's not Zach Wilson. If we're talking about athleticism and arm strength, Justin Fields is the top in this class.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a weird year, Desmond, and obviously you cover it for us all through the season. It began with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields sort of neck and neck, and then Lawrence ran away and hid, and now we're talking about the possibility that Fields will be the third or the fourth or somehow even the fifth quarterback in this draft. What do you see, Des?
Well, Justin Fields is a great athlete. He's, you know, we knew, at least I knew, going into the pro day, he was going to clock a fast time. I mean, he's just been a tremendous athlete since high school. So that didn't really surprise me. Now, obviously, at 225, almost 230, moving that fast, I can see where a lot of people were shocked. And then he can make a lot of throws. There's no doubt about that. This kid was like a five-star recruit coming out of high school. The issues, Greeny, comes into play when you start to break down the 2020 film and look at the games against Indiana, the games against Northwestern, and then you try to figure out, okay, what did you see? What was going wrong? And why did you play so bad? Why did you throw all these interceptions? As far as being on the field in shorts, he can make all the throws. He's going to woo you with his athleticism. But when it comes down to playing the quarterback position, let me make sure that people understand this, Greeny. This is a conversation. Because like you said, he's in a position now where they're talking about drafting him as a second, maybe the third or fourth quarterback, anywhere in the first round. When you're talking about drafting a kid that high, then this is when you start to split hairs. Now, if you're talking about stealing him in the second round or third round, then you're not having this type of conversation. So I think that he served himself well yesterday at his pro day, but when he has to sit down at the board and start to explain things that went wrong in the 2020 season, then that's when you start to really figure out what type of player Justin Fields is going to be at the next level.
And so, Diana, let's try and figure out what we think we know here. So when the 49ers trade up to number three, a conventional wisdom is that means they know that the Jets know who the Jets are going to take it to. That's what a lot of us sort of put two and two together and figured that's what they know. What do we think we know at this point, Diana, from the people you talk to, what do we think we know about the quarterbacks in this draft at the very top of the first round?
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt that the San Francisco 49ers also happen to have a great relationship with the head coach of the New York Jets, Robert Saleh. So, you know, there's a lot of communication. But here's something I learned long time ago covering this league. There is nothing certain in terms of what teams are taking and who they're taking when it's the end of March. Historically, look back at the draft. Look at the players that we've teams and quarterbacks with. It usually changes and evolves over the weeks leading up to the draft. So while we think the Jets are going to take Zach Wilson, that's what we're all assuming, I wouldn't say it's a certainty at this point, Greeny.
It's an important point to make. The draft round one is 4 weeks from tomorrow. A lot can change. We are just getting started. Jam-packed we will be all morning long. Coming up, the truth about Mac Jones' pro day. Is he really one of the top three quarterbacks in this draft? We'll answer that question. Plus, we'll finally get to see it. Rodgers versus Mahomes, the NFL's new 17-game reality. Why one of our crew isn't thrilled with how it could impact the playoffs.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance. And we roll along. Diana Russini is here now with Diana's diary news and notes, including what we're hearing from NFL teams about Mac Jones' pro day yesterday, Diana.
I love that I'm getting my own segment finally on this show. So Mac Jones right now is getting all the buzz. I had one general manager who's in the market for a quarterback and had attended one of his pro days tell me that Mac Jones reminds him a lot of Daniel Jones leading up to the draft. Not as a player, But the buildup, the excitement, if you remember, Daniel Jones kind of came out of nowhere and all of a sudden the Giants took him. So he's getting that type of steam. Then you got the Sam Darnold conversation, Greedy, and we talk about it a lot here on the show. What could the Jets possibly get? Well, I spoke to some people in the league about it, and, you know, people seem to be all over the place about what Sam can get, but the one thing that is made clear what the Jets could get from Sam Darnold is a deal that would be better than Carson Wentz, because they wouldn't have to pay him a lot of money, and he's still on that rookie deal, so that's very appealing for a lot of teams. Meanwhile, Roger Goodell met with team owners yesterday for about 3 hours, and the vote is official. We are going to see 17 games on this schedule starting this season. Of course, it's something that owners have been pushing for years, but finally, it's something that we can look forward to. And of course, there are tons of other discussions involving COVID-19 made on that owner's call that I'll share with you in just a few.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But let's start with the 17 games, Diana. And let me show everybody, it's for the first time since 1978 that they have changed the schedule for the upcoming season. Some of the added games, they are adding inter-league games or inter-conference games, excuse me. Maybe the most attractive is that one you see at the upper left, Packers, Chiefs. You also get Patriots, Cowboys, Matthew Stafford and the Rams playing Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So from a fan's perspective, we get a lot of things added. And let me bring the former players in on this one as well, because I'm interested to hear it. And you know, Teddy Bruschi, we were talking before the show. Now there's going to be a 17th regular season game. You're looking at a long playoff road, a longer playoff road than there had been in the past for some of the top teams, because there's only one bye. So as you sit back and sort of analyze this thing, what thoughts go through your mind?
Yeah, so the bye with the one team is really, it's a critical factor now that the season is being lengthened. I mean, it's borderline unfair. I'll say that, because when you're getting through a long season like that with that extra week and that extra game, and there's just one team that's sitting there and it gets to watch all the playoff games going into the next week, it's just a huge advantage. I mean, the former, when you introduce me and Dez, that former player in me is fired up in terms of more football to watch and also analyze. But the current players, I don't know what that view is going to be. But in terms of that playoff structuring, one team, that bye is just now vital to the success of winning the Super Bowl and having success in the playoffs.
Something really interesting to think about. The race for number one might mean even more now. How about you, Des? When you hear 17 games, what's the first thought that goes through your mind?
The first thought was, I wonder if there's an extra bye week. I mean, we spent all this time, right, talking about players and talking about concussions and CTE and trying to take care of players and making sure that, you know, that their well-being is looked after. And then what do? We add an extra game, but do we add another bye week? No, we do not. So they still have 20 games. The season's extended a week longer, but the simple fact, Green, that they didn't add a bye week, that didn't sit well. But at the end of the day, it seems as though the league will be making more money. The players will be making more money. And then the second thing is, now there's a shorter window of time for players who are on the bubble to prove themselves. Once you had four preseason games, now you only have three. That's going to be a big issue for a lot of players who may be on the bubble in the preseason.
Yep, there are a lot of players who made the NFL solely because they were able to show what they could do in these preseason. Again, now, Diana, you were on that call yesterday. What other things should the fans know about that came out of that?
Yeah, here's what was really interesting. Roger Goodell wasn't asked about next season's plans in terms of fans returning to the stadiums. He volunteered that they expect stadiums to be at full capacity. They sounded really optimistic about going into the season. And look, we know it always comes down to local and state officials really making the decision on what fans can do and not do. We saw that last season. So it's going to probably be the same formula for this upcoming season, but it really sounded very optimistic going into this year. They look back at last year's being a success, and I think they believe they're going to have even more success. Players and coaches, though, they're not going to be mandated to get the vaccination. That's not something they're making anybody do. But of course, it's something that from talking to different coaches and players over the last few weeks, people are doing it.
All right, we will see. So obviously, so much coming out of that at this very busy time for the NFL. Guys, stay there. We're coming back to you in just a couple of moments. But now back to the dance. We showed you UCLA over Michigan earlier. Elsewhere, number one overall seed Gonzaga just continues to steamroll, taking out USC last night, leading by as many as 24 on their way to an 85-66 win. They're the first team to go into the Final Four unbeaten on the season since Kentucky in 2015. And there you see the Final Four and Caesars from William Hill confirming what we already know. The Gonzaga is an enormous favorite going into this dance. And so let me bring in my Uncle Seth Greenberg. Again, no relation. So Gonzaga wins their four games in this tournament by 96 points. No one has beaten them all year. Seth, what will it take for someone to pull off what will be a huge upset next week in the Final Four?
Grady, you got to own the pace of the game. You think about this Gonzaga team, they play at the third fastest pace in college basketball, shot every 14 seconds. Oh, by the way, UCLA, they play at the 319th fastest pace. So if you can control the pace and tempo of the game, how do you do that? Shot selection. You got to take good shots because your defensive transition is connected to your shot selection. Number two, you've got to take care of the basketball. You can't turn it over. UCLA only turns it over 15% of their possessions. Those two areas will be key. The other thing, you got to have a matchup with Corey Kispert at the four. I think UCLA has that in Jaime Jaquez. The big question for UCLA is, how do you match up with Drew Timmy? They score 50 points a game in the paint. Timmy's the guy. That's a tough matchup for Cody Riley.
So let me ask you this, because a lot of us will look at this in historical perspective. We haven't had an unbeaten champion since 1976, and there's a lot of legendary teams. If Gonzaga runs the table with authority and finishes unbeaten, will you say they're one of the greatest teams of all time?
I think they'll be one of the greatest teams of all time, not the greatest team. It's a different era. Like right now, we're in a one-and-done era, and we're not playing against those veteran teams. You think about even Jay Will's Duke team. You had Dunleavy on the team, Boozer on the team, Jay Will on the team. You had players of the year. Think about that undefeated 76 team of Indiana. Multiple veteran players. The UNLV teams that I played against when I was at Long Beach State with Larry Johnson, Anderson Hunt, Stacey Augmon. Those teams were just different. They were more mature, but this team historically as good offensively as any I've seen. Now, the question everyone's going to talk about is, how do you compare them? Because they play basically three quarters of their schedule against the West Coast Conference. They're not in the grinder of the Big Ten, the Big 12, back in the day, the ACC. The cumulative effect of playing in those conferences, they probably would have a loss. Does that take away from how good they are right now? No, they are historically good offensively.
And Seth Greenberg, we'll have you back a little bit later in the program. We'll talk about the Final Four and about Michigan's heartbreaking defeat last night. Stay close. We're still rolling on here. Much more to come on Get Up, including this. Who will be this year's Mitchell Trubisky? Who will be this year's Lamar Jackson? Answers to the biggest draft questions are next. Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up during this Pro Day season, and the quarterback prospect Mac Jones was involved in his second pro day at Alabama yesterday, and among those who were there to watch him was Patriots head coach and general manager Bill Belichick. The Pats currently have the 15th pick in the draft. He's very close to Nick Saban, the coach there, but does not seem like 15 is a likely spot for him to be. And I know a lot of people were wondering, well, didn't Mac Jones just take part in a pro day last week? This is why we have Alyssa Lange getting up with us early this morning from the SEC Network to explain what's going on. Alyssa, what is going on? For those who were saying, what's Mac Jones doing twice? Why? What's happening down there? What is the answer to that?
Greeny, when you're the reigning national champions, you're allowed to have two pro days, right? I mean, this was always in the plan, and the players said it was a great situation for them to be in this season, certainly not having an NFL combine. If they didn't like what they did last week, they had yesterday to go out and do it again. And you saw Mac Jones throw the majority of his passes yesterday. And there were two things that he wanted to show off. Arm strength and creativity were some of the more specific things. Starting with creativity, you actually saw him end the throwing session on a trick play where he pitched the ball to Najee Harris and then turned around and caught a touchdown pass in the end zone. So he wanted to show off the fact that, one, I'm not a statue, and two, I can do whatever an NFL team wants me to do. I can be mobile. He did reference, hey, when I was at Alabama, they asked me to work the pocket and rip it. That's what I did, but that's not all I can do. Something else he wanted to show off was the arm strength. I wouldn't say demonstrate that, because we knew he had the arm strength throughout last season. But one of my favorite notes from yesterday was the fact that one of his favorite targets from last season, Devontae Smith, actually participated in the workout for Mac Jones. Devontae Smith didn't do a workout of his own, didn't go through any individual drills, merely came to support Mac Jones, to make him look good. And I think that says a lot about not only Mac, but Devontae Smith as a teammate as well.
No question. And we saw Najee Harris wanting to be there with him last week. I mean, the close-knit nature of that team is extremely... It's sort of gratifying to witness from a distance. But now let's talk turkey here. All right. So, Matt, Mac Jones, before the season began, no one was talking about him anywhere near the first round. Then the season ended and people were talking about him mid to late first round. And now all of a sudden, San Francisco has traded up to three and half the world thinks that's who they're going to get. Does this make sense to you?
It does, because Kyle Shanahan is going to get what Kyle Shanahan wants. And we've seen this before. No one was talking about Joe Burrow. He ended up being the first pick overall. No one was talking about Kyler Murray, who wasn't good at Texas A&M. He was the first pick overall. So we've seen this play out before, where you can really catch lightning in a bottle and have that ascension to being a very high pick. Now, I think the biggest question is, as Alyssa noted, yes, he showed off the arm strength, but it's still an arm that is below what we're seeing from Justin Fields and Trey Lance and Zach Wilson. It's still mobility, while good enough, that is below Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. So I think the question will be for Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, do they want someone like Mac Jones, who's going to process his reads quickly? He's very accurate. He throws a good deep ball. Or do they want to evolve this scheme and get away from the Matt Ryan and Kirk Cousins mold and go with more of a modern element with 4-4-4 speed for Justin Fields, like we talked about before, or someone who's more of a well-rounded athlete like Trey Lance coming out of North Dakota State?
So, Dez, give us a preview here. You'll be on ABC the night of the first round of the draft. And if Roger Goodell says the words, with the third pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama, what will you say?
I'm going to say, well, everybody, I understand this pick, because at this point, it's all about who you think fits best with your system. If you have Kyle Shanahan and he's falling in love with Mac Jones, and he's looking for a guy who needs to process information quickly, get the ball out of his hand fast and accurately, and that's what he needs to run his system, then this is the perfect guy. So it's not about being the third best player in the draft. It's being the player that this team needs, that this coach falls in love with, that he believes can run his system the best, and that's why the 49ers picked Mac Jones, everybody.
And so that's going to be very interesting there if it happens. And so, Alyssa, let me come back to you. Is there any way, if you're around these people all the time, is there any way of gleaning what they expect? If you see Saban there hanging out with all his buddies, he's got Shanahan on one side and he's got Bill on the other side. He's just receiving them, which is amusing to watch from a distance. But do you have any way of gleaning a sense of what they expect to happen for Mac Jones?
You know, from a bird's eye view, it is funny, like you said, to watch Saban work those relationships. We know that he knows the NFL head coaches really well. You know, I don't think anybody, maybe even Mac Jones, has an idea of who might end up picking him. But I know we talked about this last week. I said this throughout the entire pre-draft process, not only based on what we've seen from Pro Day, but based on what we've seen from Mac Jones ever since the end of the 2020 season. I wouldn't be surprised if any of the 32 teams fell in love with Mac Jones and what he brings to the table based on what Dez and Matt just said. I mean, he's a quarterback that has proven himself at Alabama from a numbers standpoint, and then even yesterday throughout Pro Day was having a great time with his guys. You see him fist bumping scouts, and he's a ready-made leader. I'm looking forward to see who ends up picking him up.
Right, Alyssa Lang from the SEC Network at LSU's Pro Day today, so that should be interesting to watch. Thank you so much for getting up with us here. Meanwhile, Matt and Dez, I got something for you. Let's go either or with some of the players who will be drafted in round one. Starting with you, Dez, who would you rather have, Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase?
I tell you what, I love Ja'Marr Chase. I thought he was fantastic 2 years ago when he played, but man, this Kyle Pitts, he's just such an irregular talent. Like, this guy is a guy who, he doesn't come around often. He's such a freak athlete at the tight end position. He's completely a wideout in a tight end's body. Great routes, excellent hands. He doesn't catch the ball. He plucks it out of the air. I would have to go with Kyle Pitts.
Then how about the two Alabama guys, Jalen Waddle or Devontae Smith? Dez, which one you got?
Green, you know I got to roll with my Heisman fraternity brother, Devontae Smith, a.k.a. the Slim Reaper. I mean, he just had a phenomenal season. He can do it all. Both guys, they have, like, some issues as far as their size because Devontae's only 172 soaking wet, and obviously Jalen Waddle's shorter than 6 feet. But my man, Devontae Smith, he's a gamer. He's a playmaker. I got to go with the Slim Reaper.
And then the quarterback, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, who you got?
I like Zach Wilson, man. I just love everything that he brings to the team, to the offense. You know, he's a player who plays with an edge. You can tell he's out there to prove all the doubters wrong. He can make all the throws. He has great talent. He can run, but he doesn't want to run. He runs to extend plays, looking down the field all the time. I think I would have to go with Zach Wilson, though. You know, you can't go wrong with Justin Fields after his pro day yesterday. He's a phenomenal talent, too.
Look, Mel and McShay have both told us they expect quarterbacks to go 1, 2, 3, and 4 in this draft, and then who knows, 5 is going to go pretty quickly as well. So what we're doing is splitting hairs between these guys. They're all going to go in the first half of the first round of the NFL draft. That shows you what the NFL think of them. Meanwhile, we got another game to play here with Dez and Matt this time. I was bringing him into it. Matt, if we look at these quarterbacks, tell me the one that you could see wind up turning out to be the Mitchell Trubisky, the biggest risk, if you will, of it going wrong for the young player in this draft.
I feel bad for doing this to you, Greeny, but I think it is Zach Wilson. And it's not just because he's most likely going to the New York Jets, but if you had bet on the New York Jets first-round picks busting over the last 20 years, you'd be a very rich man right now. It just hasn't worked out for them. So Zach Wilson, also, we have to worry about the one-year wonder. I'm with this. Watching him play, he's the most fun quarterback to watch in the 2021 draft class, without a doubt. But it is one-year production against bad teams. You go back to 2019, against Utah, wasn't pretty. Against Washington, wasn't pretty. So we're really looking at a guy a lot like Mitchell Trubisky, who had that one great year. And we're hoping that you can catch that lightning in a bottle and say he's only going to get better with NFL coaching. We put some NFL wide receivers around him. But if he goes to a team like the Jets, or you could even say to other teams like the Falcons, where he might have to develop a little bit more, I think that there is that boom or bust nature to Zach Wilson's game.
Okay. It's worth keeping a close eye on. The next one, Desmond, is for you. Just a few years ago, there were 5 quarterbacks that went in round one, and Lamar Jackson was the last of those. And a year later, he was the MVP of the league. So who could be this year's Lamar Jackson?
I will have to look at Trey Lance, and I'm not saying a year later he's going to be the MVP of the league, but I just think that his upside is tremendous. I mean, he's a guy who reminds me of Donovan McNabb. You know, he can throw inside the pocket, outside the pocket. He's a big quarterback. He's always a threat to run. And don't forget, coming out of high school, no one really wanted to give him a chance to play quarterback, but he stuck to his guns. He wanted to be a quarterback. Now he's put himself in a position to be a top draft pick, a first day draft pick, and I still think he plays with that chip on his shoulder with a lot to prove. So I think it could be Trey Lance.
That's an interesting one. And look, if San Francisco takes him at 3, I don't think it will stun anybody. Meanwhile, Matt, last one is for you here. Jordan Love was the quarterback who got drafted in the first round last year, and we have not seen him since. Who do you think could be this year's Jordan Love?
Yeah, it's tough because we're not going to see anyone fall to pick number 26 overall like Jordan Love did, or 32 like Lamar Jackson did. So, you know, I would say whoever goes to Atlanta could be that quarterback who's drafted, and then we kind of forget about it. Now, you guys were talking earlier about Aaron Rodgers' contract. What that means for Jordan Love will be interesting. But Matt Ryan is under contract for 2 more years after the restructure that he just recently did. So whether it's Trey Lance or Justin Fields, I think those are probably 2 of the favorites right now to go number 4 to the Atlanta Falcons. We may not see them play for half of their rookie deal, which makes it a very, very interesting situation for Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot and that new regime down in Atlanta.
Yeah, it sort of flies in the face of what most people seem to think is the most valuable thing about drafting a quarterback these days, which is getting a lot out of them while they're on that first contract. It'll be interesting to see. Guys, sit tight. So much more to come as we roll on here. Coming up, were the plans put in motion yesterday for this QB to go back where it all began? We've got the answer next. Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and let's play a little game called Keep Him or Trade Him with Teddy Bruschi as we look at some of the situations with players around the league who may be on the move. Russell Wilson in Seattle. Teddy, do they keep him or do they trade him?
Well, this is an obvious one for me. You keep Russell Wilson. I don't care what you have to do if you got to sit around a campfire and have a kumbaya moment. I mean, this guy is fantastic. He does everything for your organization. If you got to fix relationships, then fix relationships. But that's something that Pete Carroll has to focus on, because this is a definite keep.
I love it. All right, next one. We go to the Jets and Sam Darnold. Do you keep him or do you trade him?
Well, I'm going to go trade here with Sam, because yeah, he still has some potential at the quarterback position. But if you got your quarterback tagged to get with that high draft pick, then it's like you have so many things you can build. And you can build with draft picks if you get rid of him. You can also maybe get another player out of it. It is a quarterback. Teams are desperate. They want to develop him. I would say trade Sam Darnold. See what you can get.
Okay, and then the last one is Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. Now that they've moved up, do we trade him or do we keep him?
Man, I would say trade also for Jimmy Garoppolo. Of course, the number 3 overall pick. You don't do that for linebackers or linemen or anything like that. You do that for a quarterback. I don't know how that quarterback room would do. Jimmy would say to himself, listen, I brought this team to a Super Bowl. I'm the man. How's it going to go in that room with him? So if you need more pieces and the price is right, that's going to be a thing. The price has to be right. I would say you move Garoppolo.
Mark, that's a really interesting one. Let me bring Diana in on that one as well here. Diana Russini's gotten up with us early, tape, because all signs when it comes to Jimmy G all tend to point back to Foxborough. We believe Bill has always liked him. And so if I'm doing the math, 49ers trading up to 3 equals Jimmy Garoppolo going back to the Patriots. Am I doing the math right?
Yeah, it's good math, and it makes a lot of sense. Not that Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots ever reveal what they're doing, so sometimes it makes you scratch your head a little bit, like, this makes too much sense. There's no way they would let us all know about this. But I talked to a bunch of people in the league about this, and it just, enough people I trust have told me that the Patriots' interest in Jimmy Garoppolo has been consistent. This has got to be more of San Francisco willing to make the deal, and of course New England having the right amount of picks and the money to get Jimmy to bring him back. And that's really what it's going to come down to it. From what I can gather in terms of talking to other people around the league as well, in terms of what they think the Patriots are going to do, most believe they're going to go quarterback come this draft.
Yeah, and that becomes interesting, because their pick is 15, and it feels less and less like one of the big quarterbacks will be available. So again, Teddy, as Diana mentions, no one really knows what Bill is going to do, but you know him as well as anybody. So what is your sense? Do you believe he goes out and brings back Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, now that San Francisco is even talking about the price has to be right, I would say absolutely not, because that price is going to be high. It's going to be a high draft pick. They may want players, any of that. And for me, that goes against everything that Bill Belichick is, to pay a high price for a player that has poor durability. And I could just hear him thinking right now, why would I give all of that for a player that I don't even know is going to play 16 games? You know, and that's just business and how you talk behind the scenes. I know he has faith in Garoppolo and loved Jimmy when he was here, but I can't mortgage my team or sacrifice my philosophy of building a team for overpaying for a quarterback who I don't know is going to be available for me an entire football season.
Yes, again, a reminder that it is now 17 games, so it's even worse than you say. Garoppolo has missed 45% of the games. Yeah. Since he got to San Francisco, that's a fact. He's missed 45% of the games with injury, Diana.
Yeah, and Greeny, you heard Kyle Shanahan, who does a really incredible job of being transparent. He's one of my favorite coaches to cover because he'll just tell you what he's thinking. And he kept pointing to the fact that durability is their issue with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's not his play on the field. And GM John Lynch put it out there as well. For the right price, they'd be willing to deal Jimmy G. So it's not off the table. It's just right now the plans, and they're saying all the right things. Jimmy's on this team, he's on the roster, he's going to be part of our plans. But if the right team, perhaps a desperate team, comes in, San Francisco would be willing to strike a deal.
It's a fascinating...
Yeah, and guys...
Go ahead, Teddy.
Yeah, let me say this really quick. I mean, of all the activity that the New England Patriots have had over this offseason of the signing of the defensive players and the offensive players and the tight ends, these are multi-year contracts with this year in mind, next year in mind, the year after that. There's only one free agent that's signed that's only a one-year contract deal, and that's Cam Newton. So is Bill looking to go with Cam Newton right now and just go with it and then build and get this team better for next year is when he makes his play for his quarterback? That's something to consider also.
Yeah, it's going to be really fascinating to watch what they wind up doing. There's Cam, of course, who had an up-and-down season last year, but now would have an opportunity to be there for a full preseason and training camp, and maybe it goes markedly better, and we'll see what Belichick decides that he wants to do. In the meantime, I wanted to get Teddy's perspective on something. Meanwhile, on Planet Earth is brought to us today by our friends at Whole Foods Market, and on Planet Earth yesterday, Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, posted the picture of that tattoo and wrote, "I'm a man of my word. When we win the Super Bowl, I will get a tattoo. I got mine, and I love it." And so I will simply ask, it's great for Bruce, I will ask Teddy, you won a bunch of Super Bowls with Bill. Do you know, did Bill ever get a tattoo after you guys won a championship?
No, that's not a sort of Belichick thing to do. And that right there, that's more skin than I've ever seen of Bill Belichick's skin. So, no, that's not something that I would really think that's something Bill would do. Absolutely not.
To clarify on that, if I may, because I'm a journalist and I have to follow up on something like that, Mike Tannenbaum has mentioned on this program many times that he and Bill Belichick have saunaed together. We've turned that into a verb on this show. Have you ever saunaed with Bill?
Oh, my God.
No sauna, not even steam. I stay far away. Coaches have their own locker room, and it's a good thing because there's some people you just don't want to see with their shirts off.
Fair enough. Diana, quick thought. Bruce Arians, get the tattoo. What do you think? Diana, I've bewildered you. Bruce Arians, get the tattoo.
Oh,
what do you think?
You know what? I was thinking of the image of Bill in a sauna, and I was kind of grossed out by it all. You know what actually my first thought was when I saw that tattoo was Teddy's good friend, Mike Vrabel, who, remember last year, 2 years ago, said what he would be willing to do if he won a Super Bowl. Maybe Coach Vrabel should take a little tip from Bruce and just go with the tattoo and not get rid of any body parts. So good for Bruce Arians, though, man. Keeping the band together and sticking with his word.
All right, let me try and segue out of this as gracefully as I can. Both of you sit tight because you're hilarious. Let me run the floor with the college basketball action last night. On the women's side, South Carolina coach Dawn Staley has brought that team back to the Final Four. For the third time in the past 6 years, the Gamecocks defense was suffocating last night in a 62-34 Elite Eight win over Texas. So on they go. Elsewhere last night, with Russell Wilson in attendance, the number one seed Stanford Cardinal knocked off the two seed Louisville to advance to the Final Four. Wilson's sister Anna hit a clutch three in the fourth quarter to help the Cardinal advance, with her famous brother in attendance to watch and cheer. And a reminder that once again we will have the NCAA Women's Final Four on ESPN and always on the ESPN app. Friday, South Carolina takes on Stanford in the first game. That's at 6 Eastern. Then Arizona, UConn in the second game. All of the action at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, and all of it, as always, available on the ESPN app. Coming up, the CEO of the Packers facing questions about Aaron Rodgers' future. It's what he didn't say that will raise your eyebrows. Ryan Clark will weigh in. He'll join this party next. Get up on ESPN.